Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When it comes to feelings about past injustice, we have to let our bitterness go as well. In a marriage, peace only comes after releasing our terrible memories into God's hands. Forgiving your mate can help heal the deep wounds of a relationship on the rocks. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues a series on the marriage puzzle. Listen now as Erwin Lutzer concludes Moving Beyond Your Past with wise counsel on handling those really tough issues.
I expect in heaven to see the wounds of Jesus, but they'll be not wounds, but scars. And you'll be there too, maybe with your scars, but the wounds will be gone. Trust Jesus. And then finally, and this is really quite finally, but not quite finally, develop a different pattern of thought. Just like the needle of a compass points north when it's free, in the very same way, some of you, when your mind is free, it goes back to your woundedness. It goes back to your self-pity, poor me. Look at the husband I married. I could have done much better if I had shopped more, wisely. Or the other way. It doesn't matter. We're talking about both men and women here. And when you stop to think of it, folks, what happens is these thought patterns are so strongly ingrained that you have to begin to think differently. Those of you who are older all know who Jim Baker was and is. Jim Baker in the great TV scandals in the middle of the 1980s. And then he went to jail. In fact, he has a new ministry today. About 5 years ago, Rebecca and I were in Branson, and we had lunch with Jim Baker and his wife, Lori. Tammy Faye, of course, died, but Lori is his new wife. And she gave us a book, her story, and she told us her story. I don't even remember the number of abortions this young lady had before the age of 20. Every sin imaginable, whether it's drugs and sex and booze, you name it, this girl was into it. But she was gloriously converted, and I remember this. She said, I memorized 400 verses of scripture just to get my mind straight. Today she's a lovely woman and deeply in touch with those who ache and hurt and are wounded because she's been there. You need to think differently. Now listen, you also need to speak differently. If your Bible is open like mine is, did you notice what I said in verse 29? And I didn't say it, I was reading it. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as it fits the occasion. Oh, if we could take that one verse and implement it in our marriages, it would change everything. Let me tell you a true story. Woman wants to divorce her husband within a month. The attorney says, okay, you're going to divorce the guy anyway. He doesn't know that you're going to divorce him. And you basically hate him. But in order to hurt him more, so that you can really sock it to him, why don't you for 1 month do nothing but commend him and say nice things about him and encourage him and respect him, and he will think that you're really on his side, and then when you serve him the divorce papers, it'll hurt a whole lot more. She loved the idea. There's no use criticizing the guy anyway. You're going to lose him anyway. I mean, you know, he's going to be out of here. So forget about all of his faults and all the things you don't like about him. Give him love notes in his lunch. Say nice things. If he does something sensible, commend him for it. And ladies, that would be a wonderful thing for you to do for your husband, is to commend him if he does something sensible. Somebody at the church here asked me one time, he says, if a man speaks and his wife isn't there to hear him, is he still wrong? I don't know. So what she did is she did nothing but speak positive things to him. for one whole month. Seriously, at the end of the month, they went on a second honeymoon. Can you imagine what that would do? And the Bible says, speak words that edify. Could you make a promise right now? Rebecca and I talked about this, so we're in on the promise, that for 1 week, 168 hours, I actually calculated it on my calculator. For one full week, no criticism. Oh, you might want to tell him before he goes to work that there's some porridge on his shirt or something like that. So, you know, that may not be a criticism. Correcting something might not be a criticism. But no criticism, no nagging. All day long, what you're thinking about as a wife and as a husband is, how can I speak words that will uplift, words that will edify? How can I do that? And your marriage will be transformed. Absolutely no doubt about it. Ladies, ladies, ladies. Men, men, men. It can be done by the power of God. If not, we grieve the Spirit. How big is God? Here's David. He commits his sin, messes up his family, has Bathsheba for a wife. She bears him Solomon. We could argue that, strictly speaking, Solomon should never have been born because he was born to a woman who should never have been David's wife. And lo and behold, Solomon is born, and the Bible says, and the Lord loved him. And the Lord said to him, O Solomon, I will bless you for the sake of your father David. And I just look at that and say, where's all that coming from? It's coming from grace. Because you know what God does with our past when we deal with it? He recycles it, makes it come out to his glory. True, another true story. Solomon's story is true. This one also. I have a friend whom I shall call Ken, though he wouldn't mind, I'm sure, if I told you his real name. I think he shares his story freely. There he is. He's brought up early in life. He comes to know Christ as Savior. And at the age of 25, his mother sets him down and says, I have something to share with you. The person whom you think is your father is not your father. I had a fleeting affair with a doctor in the area, and he's your biological dad. Now, Ken at that moment had two ways that he could go. He could have said, I'm going to go into drugs and alcohol and the whole bit, because after all, I shouldn't have even been here. I need validation as a human being. Now I don't even know whether or not I was the product of any kind of love or whether or not it was just a fleeting, lustful relationship. I don't even know who I am. I'm going in that direction. He could have done that. But he was a Christian and he believed the Bible. What a wonderful combination. And the Bible says that where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. So after being thrown for a loop for a while, trying to get his bearings as to what this means, as to who he is, after going through that, he decided, if God was big enough to save me, why can't he be big enough to bless me? After all, God is, you know, has chosen him, made him a son of God, forgiven his sin, his position in heaven is secure. I'd say that that's validation. That's validation. Pretty good for a guy who, strictly speaking, could have argued he should not have been born. Why? Because God is so much bigger than your sin. I believe that Spurgeon was right when he says, the abundance of sin can never thwart the abundance of grace. Spurgeon says, man heaps a pile of sin, and God says, I'm going to do you better. I'm going to heap a pile of grace that is bigger. Man says, mine is going to even be bigger yet, and God comes along and he heaps a whole mountain of grace and says, mine is bigger. And on it goes until man loses the contest, because God's grace is greater than your sin and greater than your past. And to those who receive it, God's grace is great. I don't know where you are in your marriage. I don't know where you are. All that I know is, If we humbled ourselves, repented, owned our stuff, cleared our consciences, and then really forgave, and began to speak differently, we'd be on a different course. Corrie ten Boom. You all know her story in a concentration camp in Nazi Germany. Sister was killed by the Nazis. She survives the camp and then blesses us with her book that she writes about. And later on, she meets one of the Nazis in the concentration camp where she was. And he sticks out his hand. This is here in America. He sticks out his hand to her. She didn't know whether or not she should take it. But she thought, if God is this gracious to me to forgive me, I'll shake hands with him. And then she said these words. I'll never forget them. There is no pit so deep, but that God is deeper still. You're not in a pit that is so deep, but that God is deeper. Let's pray. So where do we go from here? You husbands especially, I want you to pray. If you're, take the hand of your wife like I asked you to when we prayed. Don't accuse one another as a result of this message. The devil would like that. Satan has some of you bound in unbelief and bound in your woundedness. But God is here to deliver. Would you talk to God right now as we have a moment of silent prayer? Father, we've said the words, but will they be heard? Will that man have the courage to do what he needs to do? Will the wife have the courage to do what she needs to do? Will they see their sin as all of us need to? Will they see your grace as greater than their sin? I don't know, because this is your work. It's not mine. I pray that you might bring many miracles about, many miracles of restoration and hope. Do that, Lord, we pray. Amen. I want you to visualize with me what Corrie ten Boom said. There is no pit that is so deep, but that God is deeper still. You know that God doesn't expect us to jump out of a pit. We don't have the strength to. We don't have the know-how. We don't have the willpower. Actually, God comes into the pit. That's what Jesus did on the cross. He came into our pit. He grabs us. He holds us. And he pulls us out. But we have to let him do that. We have to be willing to let go of the past, the woundedness, the unanswered questions, the hurt, the anger. And we have to say today, Jesus, come into my pit. You have come in. I'm letting you take me out. There is no pit that is too deep.
Erwin Lutzer, concluding Moving Beyond Your Past from a series on The Marriage Puzzle. Next time, don't miss The Puzzle of Your Roles. The Marriage Puzzle series can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.